In the second part, we are talking about the eternal glory of Yeshua, the Mashiach. Let's look at Matthew 6:12, in which the Lord instructs his disciples how to pray after this manner. Pray, Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, in 1 John 1:12, so here it's talking about the Lord actually in the Pater Noster, or the Lord's Prayer, the Father's Prayer. This is how a pattern that we ask that God be glorified, His kingdom and His glory, and that He is our provision, and our purpose is to walk in His character. Forgiving as we forgive those, and don't lead us into temptation, and deliver us from evil. 1 John 1:12 then speaks about what Yeshua did for us. And then we're going to talk about what he did do for us. 1 John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is referring to the Word made flesh was Yeshua the Messiah, also known as Jesus in the English tongue. Jesus the Christ. Now, let's look at what Jesus had to say about himself being glorified and what that meant when he was on the earth. We shall start with the story of Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead a couple of weeks before the Passover, during the Lord's last days on the earth. In John 11:39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, says unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead 4 days." So the situation is that Martha and Mary and the group of people outside of Bethany in the crypt, next to the crypt where they put Lazarus in. Jesus had gone there, and he instructed Martha to take away the stone. And Jesus said unto her, Said I not to you that if you wouldest believe, you should see the glory of God? All right. So the Lord is saying, this is a demonstration of the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me." Aha! This is for those around. This is a demonstration that Father in heaven, the creator of all the universe, had sent Jesus. And this is God's glory. And when he thus had spoke, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Here the glory of God is that the dead are raised back to life. This was a demonstration that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And it is this glory of God that he brings this forward. And his son is the validation. His son had power over death. Let's look at John 12:23. Again, let's see what Jesus says about this great glory that is God's. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, the Lord is saying, now is the hour that he was going to be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. If any man serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Here the Lord says that in death, that the fruit that brings forth life is this process of, if you love your life, you'll lose it. And if you hate your life in this world, you will keep it for eternal life. And therefore, we should, the admonition is, serve Jesus and follow him. And where Jesus is, his servants will be. And if we serve him, the Father will honor those who serve Jesus. And this is the glory of God. This is how the Son of Man is glorified and in his disciples. Let's go on to verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Okay, what is the hour? The hour of Jesus' imminent death is coming. It's upon him. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Wow. Because the hour of Jesus' glorification was coming, the hour of his death. And God is saying of the Father in heaven, I glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. And others said an angel spoke to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. And what was he lifted up? He was lifted up on the stake, on a tree. All who is dies on the stake has a curse. The curse for sin was placed upon him, and he took the curse of sin and death for all those who believe and serve him. For all those who believe and serve Jesus. Let us go to John 13:31. Now, therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while, I'm with you, you shall seek me. And I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. All right, that is the fruit of being a Christian, is the love one to another among Jesus' disciples. And this means that you die to your self-life. Love brings death so that much fruit can come forth. and abide in your life. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, Yeshua says, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Now, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Qualifier, we are the friends of God if we do what he commands us. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what the Lord does, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now let me just stop right here. There are a lot of people who put the name of Jesus on their lives and say they are Christians, but they are worldly. And because they are worldly, when they see someone who is really walking in the truth and the love of God and the light of the Lord, and it shows up their darkness, they will turn on that person and they will hate them. So you will know that if these kind of Christians hate you, it is because they are being shown what is really in their hearts. You know that it hated me, Jesus said, before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they do not know him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. Now, Jesus was speaking about the religious leaders of the day, and they were not walking in God's love. Because if they were walking in the Lord, they would have listened to his commandments and his teachings. They would have not made up their own to satisfy their own worldly ambitions. And they would have not taken teachings from the Torah and made them into something that was not in the Spirit of God. Let's look at what Jesus has to say. John 17:1-5. These are the words of our Lord. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is coming. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now here, the Son glorifies the Father. You have given him power over all flesh. Okay, very clear. Jesus has power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth, and I finished the work which you gave me to do. And what was the work that Jesus was to do? He taught about the only true God. He was the example. and he glorified his Father's name, and he is to finish the work that he gave Jesus to do, was to take the place of judgment for sin. Now is the world judged. Now is the prince of this world judged and overthrown, because Jesus shed his blood for sin and death. That was the work. He was the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. He was the acceptable holy sacrifice, of which every other sacrifice only points to and could not take away and cleanse the conscience and make holy the person. And now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Here the statement is that before the world was, Jesus was existed with the Father. He is eternal. Let's look at John 17, 20 through 26. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer for those who would believe. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Okay, those through the disciples' word about Jesus, and through our words about Jesus, that you should believe because of our words that Jesus is God, and he came that you might know the Father and have eternal life and glorify God, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, says Jesus, and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you give me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So here, this glory that you've given to Jesus is that we may become in unity, that we may be abiding and operating not in the carnal, personal, selfish, worldly ambitions, but in the purposes of the Father and Jesus and the eternal kingdom, that they may be one even as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, that they may be made perfect in one. So God perfects us as we abide in him, as we die to ourself and this life, this worldly life that we hate, and we live for the eternal purposes of the Father and Jesus, and that the world may know that you have sent me, Jesus, and have loved them as you have loved me. This is the demonstration, the perfection and the unity and the love. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. And who is this glory? What is this glory? Is for those, the children of God, to know that God the Father loved them. He loved them so much that he sent his Son whom he loved, that they might come and glorify God. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I've declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. All right, so God has declared his name and declared it, and the love that God has loved with his Son may be in them. Because Jesus died for you. If you receive him, he will give you power to become sons of God. And you are known by your love that you have one for another. That is the earmark of a Christian. And Christians, we will know them by the love we have one for another. This is what the Holy Word teaches.